We're right at about $30,000 with the building fund. We need to get over $100,000. So what I did is I took all that money out and I invested it in toilet paper. And I'm on eBay selling it for a lot of money. No, just kidding. I figured we could triple it, no problem. That's crazy. I was on OfferUp yesterday. So funny. I was on OfferUp, and somebody gone out and they got the toilet paper at Costco. You know how it comes in the big thing. They broke that down to the individual little packs. You know, they got like six or nine or whatever they are in there, and they were selling them for $30.
Did you buy one?
No. That's where I got the idea, though. I mean, you know, glory to God. No, we don't make light of what's going on, because it's serious. And today the president called out for a time of prayer for the whole situation, and that we'd come together. And so I thought we'd just take a few minutes right now and just pray for our nation, pray for those that are suffering with it. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. Just one thing, my sister and brother-in-law, her mother-in-law is in a nursing home, and come Monday, after Monday, they can't go see her because they're isolating them. They're you know, and you think, well, that's not a big deal, but it's a huge deal for the people that are in there. But also, like, there's this one, she was telling me about this one gentleman, every day he's there to visit his wife, you know. And he can't leave her until she's asleep. But come Monday, he won't be able to go. You know, it's so when we're praying for people, right? And that's the deal. So let's just pray. But we serve a big God, right? He's the one that's kept us safe through all the terrorist stuff that's gone on. He's the one that's prospered us. He's the one that will take care of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, how could we not be grateful for the land that you've given us to grow up in, to live in, to prosper in? Lord, it's been amazing. I've been to other places, Lord. We have it really good here. And it's all because of your blessing upon it. But Lord, not for just our country, but for the whole world, this hysteria over the virus, and I'm not saying that it's not powerful, it is, but God, you can bring peace in the midst of the storm. And Lord, we pray for all the people that are suffering with it, and the ramifications for the people who have had it, and some of the folks that have passed away because of it. God, we ask you to comfort the families, Lord. And Lord, we just ask for a supernatural move of your Spirit. Give doctors wisdom, Lord. And Lord, have a vaccination come out really soon, Lord. And Father, medicines that will work, that just protect people, and if they've got it, that will help them get through it, Lord. And we just thank you for our own individual families, Lord, for wisdom on knowing what to do. And we refuse to be in fear. We refuse to panic. We refuse to get uptight, God, because we know that we know that we know, even in the midst of hardness, you're with us. And Lord, we just pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders, God. And Lord, I just pray specifically for a spirit of unity to come to our country, God, that we'd humble ourselves and begin to think of each other, Lord, rather than our own selves and our own agendas, God. And we just thank you and praise you. This is an opportunity for you to show yourself strong on behalf of your church, on behalf of your son. And Lord, we just thank you and we honor you and we ask, God, in the midst of the virus, for revival to happen, Lord. Start with us, God, and then reach out, Lord, to the neighborhoods, and Father, to the nation, Lord. And Lord, we pray for our government, Lord, and those who are in authority over us. And Lord, we come against that divisive spirit that has us attacking one another instead of standing with one another. And Lord, we just ask for your mercy, for your grace over us, over the country, Lord, over our loved ones. We thank you, God, that you've done it before. You'll do it again. We thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Yes. Somebody's... Yes.
You know, Jesus said, too, that things like this are going to be happening.
Absolutely.
And we're just, as it goes, we're closer to Jesus' return.
Amen. Amen. You took the words right out of my mouth, Alex. That was awesome. No, it's great. That's awesome. That's just confirmation. Yeah. Depending on your theology and when we're out of here, but in the tribulation, it says that a third of the world's population will die off from pestilence. Come on. And I'm not saying that this is it, because I don't think it is. But the reality is we just trust Jesus, right?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Did you know this world is not your home?
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to talk to you about living in victory in the midst of chaos.
Amen.
Come on, living in victory in the midst. And chaos comes in many different forms, right? Chaos can be a layoff, right? Chaos can be sickness. Chaos can be, you know, divorce. Chaos can be so many different things. But did you know that you can live in victory through it all? But a lot of it's dependent upon your viewpoint.
Yes.
And your perspective, right? If you really knew your position in Christ, you'd understand that you're not down looking up. You're up looking down.
Yes.
Ephesians, it says that we're seated with him in heavenly places.
That's right.
Right? If we're seated with him, he's up.
Yes. Amen.
And if we can look at that perspective, come on, God is good. Yes.
And high above all
things. Absolutely. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominions in the heavenly. Come on, we win. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's start in verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. How many know that we're all going to die? Glory to God. Unless the rapture comes, you know, unless the rapture happens, we're all going to be planted in the earth somewhere.
Right.
I'm not planning on going anytime soon, right? But sometime, right? But that's not the end of things. This says, look, even the body, for those that are saved, even the body, your body will be put in the ground and it will decay, but your resurrection body is coming.
Yeah.
It's all perspective. Come on, it's all perspective. We've all had people that we've grieved over that are losses to us. I mean, my mom and dad have been gone, both of them, for over 25 years, but I still miss them. You know, I still miss being able to call mom on the phone. What's up, mom? And ask her a question. She was such a wise woman. She'd always have, you know, an answer, a perspective, right? Come on. But the reality is, and this is the reality, is she's not in my past. She's in my future. Right? And I will tell you this, from their perspective, if Jesus was the Lord of their life, and that's the qualifier, if they didn't know Jesus, that's a whole different story, right? Right? But if they knew Jesus and they're in heaven, they're not having a bad day. Right? I hate to tell you this, but they don't miss you. Why do I say that? Because in the spirit, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. My parents have been gone for 25 years, but it's only a couple of seconds. And they're anticipating me being with them in a few seconds. it's just perspective, right? So life is like that. We have to view our lives in a different, you know, through different glasses. Verse 43, come on, this is so good. Thank you, Lord. It was sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. Come on, talking about not only our physical body, but even our spirit. Did you know that you were crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, you live. But it's not you that lives, but it's Christ that lives in you. And the life that you now live by faith in the Son of God. Come on, who loved you and gave himself for you. You know, especially in this church, we've taught a lot about faith and about the principles of faith. But faith really is all about relationship. Without relationship, you really don't have faith. You might have faith in some principles and I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that. But really, it's about relationship. Do you know that when Jesus took your sin, he made it possible for you to be in relationship with God? What does that mean? He walks with me and he talks with me. Come on. That's the reality of things, that I'm no longer a stranger in God's house, but I'm a son. Yeah, come on. He knows my voice and I know his voice. Glory to God. Verse 44, it's sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there's a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. What does that mean? Look, at when God breathed into Adam, he became a spirit body. He became a man. But when he sinned, he was alienated from God. And because the first Adam blew it, we were all under the curse.
Yes.
Everybody on the planet's under the curse. But there was a second Adam. His name was Jesus. And when he came, he didn't come just as a man, but he came as God in the flesh so that he could take our sins, and he became a life-giving spirit. Look at this. This is so good. I want to make this as simple but as plain as I can. When Adam sinned, he became separated from God. That's the death that it's talking about. He ceased to be in a relationship with God. But when Jesus came, he paid the price for our sins, that we're no longer on the outside looking in, but the life of God has been put on the inside of those who believe, because Jesus was the life-giving spirit. Shoo. I'm alive because he's alive. He lives in me. I know many of you have heard it before, but I got saved because somebody said God talked to him. God said, God told me this and God told me that. And really in my position and my place in life at that point, I said, man, this guy gets too high. Right? I mean, he's too far out there for me. In fact, I used to run from him, right? But then the Holy Spirit trapped me. And I was raised in a denomination or a church that said God spoke to the Pope, and then he's, you know, finally he'll funnel it down to you, and you know, you'll get the word later. But I didn't really know that God would speak to an individual. But I said, God, if it's possible that you really speak to him, would you have him start talking about this thing? And the next thing out of his mouth is exactly what I went, and I'll be honest with you, I went, that was quite a coincidence, right? I said, that's quite a coincidence, and so I did it again. God did it again. He did it again, and my whole thing, God, if you speak to him, is it even possible that you'd speak to me? But you see, that led me to get saved. And when I got saved, I became a life spirit that God communicates with. Are you listening to me? The Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. I'm not always in a position to hear because I got too much of myself going on. But if I'll get quiet, if you'll get quiet, you can hear God's voice. He'll tell you what to do. Because He's inside of you. We're talking about perspective. Verse 46 says, however, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and then afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust, and the second man is of the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And it's the heavenly man, so are also those who are heavenly. What does that mean? That means you came into the earth with all the dust of the ground. Did you know you have minerals and stuff? You have dirt in you?
Yeah.
Did you know you're made of dirt?
Made of dirt.
Right? That's why when if you went to a naturopath, they would say, well, you're lacking this nutrient and that thing and that thing. What's that? It's all dirt. It's all dirt. Right? You're made of that. It's part of who you are, but that's not what qualifies you for heaven. Right? That's not all I am. I have a body, and we should take care of our bodies and all that stuff, but our bodies are not the final thing.
Amen.
This body is going to be put off. Paul said it this way, the outer man is perishing day by day. What's he saying? The older I get, the harder it is to get up in the morning. Right? The harder it is to move. I can't lift as much weight as I used to. You know, all of that stuff. But the inner man, the real you, the one who's born again, that inner man is renewed day by 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 day. But really, listen to me, really, some of that is up to you. The Bible says, you know, that, and I think that we just don't do this enough, but the Bible says building yourself up, praying in the Spirit.
Amen.
Come on, yeah, praying in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means I'm being edified, I'm charging the battery, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I think we should be doing a lot more praying in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Come on. But not just praying in the Holy Ghost, asking God to give us the interpretation of what we're praying. Glory to God. I'm a spirit man. I got the Spirit on the inside of me. Verse 50 says this, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. What does that mean? If all you are is of the dust of the ground, if you've not been born again, then you cannot enter heaven. Why? Because we've all sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the good news, is that we're all in the same boat. Everybody's in the same boat. I'm not better than the worst sinner, right? Because sin is sin is sin is sin, and sin is what keeps us from God. But I'm telling you, everybody, God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't. But what He wants is everybody to come to believe and accept the Savior who is the life-giving Spirit. Right? But He wants us to live our lives in the view of being saved. He wants you to live your life out of the perspective that I'm in relationship with God.
Yes, thank you, Daddy.
Woo. Sometimes our prayer lives are so messed up. We wake up in the morning, oh God, you know God, my body hurts. My bank account's messed up. Oh God, I'm so... Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Oh. Nobody knows, right? And yet, we should wake up every morning and go, God, you really know my name? God, you said I could come boldly into your throne of grace. God, you're the God of the universe, yet you know me by name. You know every hair on my head. God, I'm so thrilled with you. I heard this story today, and just think about the perspective. It was a pastor, and he was talking. He said, I had this lady in my church years ago, and nothing was ever good enough. She was the kind, and this was his term, she sucked the energy out of me. She always had a need. Nothing was good enough. And she said, so this was a typical day. One day she came and she said, oh, Pastor, you don't know how bad I got it. You don't know how terrible it is. I got to tell you, I was on my way to church and I'm late. I was just going to come for worship, but I missed worship and it's just horrible. I mean, I was on my way to church and you know, I got a flat tire and a guy helped me out, but man, he stunk. I mean, the guy even changed my tire. You know, if God sent him to me, he stunk, man. It was awful, right? And while she's telling him this story and just really going into this, oh, poor me thing, right? There's a couple that come up to him and say, Pastor, we got to talk to you. We're so excited. Really? Yeah. I mean, so cool. We were on our way to church and we got a flat tire. They're excited about the flat tire. We're so excited. Why? Because somebody stopped and helped us. And when they stopped and helped us, we got to share Jesus with them. And when we shared Jesus with him, he got saved. In fact, he came here to church with us today. Right. And now watch this. And you know, we want to take him out to lunch, but we don't have enough money. But that's okay. We live in Southern California. We've decided we're going to go home, we're going to raid our cupboards, and we're going to take him and his family out to a picnic. Same situation, two different perspectives, right? One was looking up from being down and going, oh. And the other was looking down from being up. I'm telling you, we've got to get a different perspective. I'll just tell you this. You know, your generosity and everything for pastor's appreciation. We planned a trip. We're going to go to Hawaii. We're going to leave Wednesday, right? Well, because of all of this that's gone on, we just felt in our spirits that we didn't want to get over there and have some cancellation, so we had to cancel the trip. Oh, don't be mad. It's all right. It's all God's time. We'll go. But listen, God is with me. How can I be sad about anything? I was disappointed, don't get me wrong. But on the other hand, look at God. I'm in your hands. Shh. We're going to go spend some time with Tom and Leslie anyway. And it's going to be blessed. And we're going to have a great time and all of that. And, you know, if I don't get to Hawaii to take Renita to, I will. But if I don't get to do it while I'm here on the earth, ooh, glory to God, I'll be back. Right, I'll be back. The Bible says that there's going to be a brand new heaven and a brand new earth, and we're going to rule and reign with him, and I'll take her to Hawaii when it's all as God intended. Anyway, so it's all perspective. Are you hearing me? Verse 51, it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. What's a mystery? It's something, the secret that's now revealed. We shall not all sleep. That means die. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must be put on incorruption, and the immortality must put on immortality. Listen, mortality must put on immortality. Listen, what's that saying? There's a day coming when Jesus is going to return. And when he returns, the Bible says that there's with a shout. Listen, there's a trumpet that's going to be blasted. And we who are alive are going to be caught up together with him. In an instant, we'll lay off our mortality and take on immortality. And the dead in Christ will raise up out of the ground and meet us together with him in the air, that forever and ever and ever and ever we'll be with him. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Come on. Come on. I mean, that's the reality, right? That's not something that is not going to happen. It's going to happen. See, we can look at the Bible and go, yeah, you know, pestilence is coming. The Antichrist, things are going to get really bad. Come on, man. I've already won. Because I'm in Christ, I'm already on top. I'm not below. It's all perspective. Which perspective do you have? Right? Come on. Again, it's like the coronavirus. It's not good. It's not good, and there's a lot of suffering, and I'm not lightening that at all. But fear, we got to get it out of our hearts. Yes. What's the worst that could happen? Yeah. The worst thing that happened is you don't know Jesus and you die. Right? But if you know Jesus. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Come on. Verse 54 says, so when corruptible is put on incorruption, then this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Come on. O death, where is thy sting? And Hades, where is your victory? See, I believe that should be our perspective while we're walking through this earth, is wait a minute. Why am I cast down? As the psalmist said, why am I cast down, O my soul? In another place he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those within me bless his holy name. It's perspective. When he said, why am I cast down, O my soul, he had a reason, a thought to be cast down. Right? David went through some things. Every hero in the Bible, if you read about, and even in Hebrews chapter 11, you go, man, these great men and women, faith, bless God. But they went through stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And sometimes it's like, you know, somebody gets saved, they meet Jesus, and they go, oh, man, life is going to be good. And man, I'll tell you, when life is good. When I got saved, I'm telling you, when I got saved, I was, you know, I don't think I was an alcoholic, but I drank every day. A lot of beer. And I smoked a lot of dope. And even did things that I couldn't afford, right? So I didn't do them a lot, right? All of that stuff. But when I got saved, right, I was delivered from all of it. In an instant. In an instant. In an instant. Now, everybody's process is a little bit different, but I still believe the same God who delivered me can deliver anybody. Right? But I have to look at them from a heavenly perspective rather than an earthly perspective. Come on. Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing a song, I'm going to see the victory. Come on.
Yes.
Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Come on, it's the reality of things.
Right.
So we've got to start looking at life through the eyes of victory rather than defeat. Come on. Zach went through something incredibly hard, you know, a year ago.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Thank you for all your prayers. But they
I yeah. had to become cognitive for a couple more days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I was fighting for my life last year at this time.
Yeah.
And look at me now. Because
Amen.
Of his love, because of his
Amen.
Of victory.
Right. Amen. Amen. He couldn't have lost in that situation.
Right.
Amen. Right? Come on, devil. Give it your best shot. And see, it's all out of your sustained relationship with God and how you're viewing things.
Right.
If God's for me, man, I mean, come on. Bring it on, sucker. Right. I mean, really, take your best shot.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
And in the midst of that, I was chasing different people, but when I was in the coma, I was under torment. My darkest hour of fever, we figured it out. But, the devil was telling me, had me on a post, kept telling me this is a fallen soldier, and I couldn't wake up from it. And I was just like, I was like, no, you know, and it was a nightmare. But he sent a sister in my life, which was Janine, showed up, Janine and Scott showed up and said, oh no, I know this man. This is not happening to him.
Yeah.
Come
on.
Praying for me and prayed the exact thing I heard.
Yes.
That was the power of prayer.
Come on.
And as the love of our Father, send somebody to pray for us.
That's
at
right.
our side.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Come on. You see, it's not just vital that we get on a sense of living life out of victory in the midst of going through stuff, right? I mean, all of you going, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. Right? I mean, you know, but here's the deal. I don't want a testimony service of how bad you got it. Not that I don't have compassion and that we can pray for needs, all that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, let's bring Jesus into the picture. Let's bring victory into the picture. Let's look at it from a heavenly standpoint rather than an earthly standpoint. Come on. Come on. It says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory.
Amen.
I've got victory. There's nothing that the enemy can you know, make me stand in a place of defeat if I keep my eyes on Jesus. Yes. Come on. It's so good. It's so good. You think about people in the Bible, and sometimes we go, man, wasn't that Joseph? Man, he was so cool. He got to be the, you know, the second in command in Egypt. And look at how God used him. You look at all of them. David, I mean, what a great king he was. And he was, man. He was awesome. But he went through stuff.
Yeah.
He, you know, Joseph went through stuff. Right? He was in jail. But in jail, he kept his perspective. His perspective was, I had a dream. I had a dream, and that dream was is that all of my siblings would bow before me one day. God gave, and that got him in trouble, by the way. It led to a lot of stuff because he didn't keep it in the right perspective. He didn't, you know, some things God shows you is you're better off just keeping it to yourself until it comes to pass. But the reality is that he kept the dream alive because of the relationship that he had with God. And there was a day came that his dad sent his brothers down to Egypt to get some food. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was dead. And they all bowed to him. Come on. God will see you through, but you've got to keep your perspective in the right place. Now, another one. How do you do that? Your worship is so important that you keep worship on your lips in the midst of what you're going through. You all know in Acts chapter 16 where Paul and Silas were beaten. I mean, they were beaten for their testimony, and they're put in stocks. You know what stocks are? They're wooden things that they clamp over your legs, and you're beaten. Your back is all bloody, all that stuff. But they're sitting there at midnight. They don't know if they're going to get out or not. They got to go to trial tomorrow, man. They're going to get arraigned the next day. And what do? Oh, Lord, we were preaching for you. How could this happen to us, God? We thought you loved us. No. At midnight, they began to praise the Lord. And it said they sang hymns at midnight. What did they sing? They got into the book of Psalms, and they began to sing the Psalms. Come on. They weren't guaranteed anything, but they began to worship because they had a different perspective of the situation that they were in. Come on. So what am I saying to you this morning? I'll wrap this up. We need to come from a place of victory in our hearts, but we can only do that when we're looking at our relationship with God and that we're just passing through this earth, right? This is just a short time, but we've got an eternity to worship God, and I'm no longer a stranger in heaven, but I'm one that's accepted and welcomed in heaven, and God loves me just the way I am, but he just loves me enough not to keep me there. And no matter what I go through here, I can still keep praise on my lips. I can still say, Lord, no. What the enemy meant for evil, come on, you're going to turn it for good. You're going to turn it for good. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it said, some of these were sawn asunder. Some of these were tortured. Some of these were crucified. They went through a lot of things, and some of them died, not even receiving the answer to their prayers. But they received them. Their faith worked. Their faith worked. Come on. So listen, we've got to become more heavenly minded in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of what we're going through, in the midst of the coronavirus, right? Yeah. It's like, Lord, this is bad, and I'm not saying it's good, but Lord, you're with me, and you're going to see me through this. God, you were God before the toilet paper crisis. Right? You were the same God when you know, I had no food, you brought food. You're the same God who you know, took care of me. You're the same God. Listen. We got to quit worrying about what other people think of us. We can't have a reputation. It's only his reputation that we should be concerned with. Right? Come on. You are victorious in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says that he always, everybody say always,
always.
Leads us into triumph.
Leads us into triumph.
Come on. He always leads us into triumph.
Thank you, Lord.
Always, 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 always. Even if we were to die for him today, it would be a triumph. Come on. Come on, even if we're persecuted for him, it's a triumph.
Yes.
But where's your perspective? Amen? Let's pray. You always lead us into triumph, Lord. You have given us victory. Death, where is thy sting? It's been stripped. Father, we just come before you in the matchless, the priceless, the name of Jesus. And I thank you today, God, that you're with us. But everything that I've talked about of being in victory is all dependent on one thing. And that one thing is our relationship to Jesus. Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, died on the cross for my sins. The only way I can receive that forgiveness is by accepting him as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. But here's the good news. God so loved me, God so loved you, that he sent Jesus to die for you. So, Father, I'm praying for each person here. And, Lord, if there be one here who doesn't know you, one who's never made you the Lord of their life, their victory is on the other side of that decision. Lord, you know, and I know, that there's a hell to shun. There's a hell to avoid, but there's a heaven to gain. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'll just ask you real quick, maybe you're here today and you say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. And let me tell you what happened to me. While the man was speaking, when I was in that living room, there was something happening in my heart. I'm not saying I heard an audible voice, but in my heart, there was a knowing that what he was saying was right and that I needed to make a decision. I'll tell you, that day there was a fight inside of me because the enemy did not want me to make that decision. But I pressed through and I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And he's been with me ever since. You might be here in this room and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you have and as a child, but you've walked away from that and you'd say, my life's a mess and I need Jesus. The Holy Spirit speaking to me right now. I mean, my heart is leaping inside of me that I need to make a choice today. Again, this is between you and God. But if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, I would just encourage you to let me pray with you. If you're here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or maybe you have and you just know that you've walked away from him, but you want to come back. No one's looking. I just want you to raise your hand so I can see it. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on. I just need Jesus. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me today. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on, you can't worry about what anybody else thinks because this is between you and God. One more time. I just look around the room. I just need Jesus. I want to make him the Lord of my life. Come on, I see that hand. Anybody else? Yeah, I see that hand. I see that hand. Come on. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a minute. But this prayer needs to come from your heart to God. I'm going to say some words, and the words will work, but it needs to be from your heart. So if you raise your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you still want to get included into the prayer, I would encourage you to pray this from your heart to God. Nobody else is in the room right now. It's just you and Jesus. So everybody, let's just repeat this after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I know that I've sinned. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I know that I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. So this day, I believe in my heart. And so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, you've raised him from the dead. And I thank you, Lord, that you said you would not turn me away. So I believe right now that because your blood was spilled for my sin, I am right with you. Help me, Lord, to live the rest of my life for you. I lay my past down, but my future is in you. Thank you, Lord, for coming to me. Thank you, Lord, for being with me and helping me to enforce this decision. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Listen, if you prayed that for the first time, or if you know you're coming back to the Lord, listen to what just happened. You didn't hear it here, but I'm telling you, in heaven, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person returns to the Lord. So there's a party going on right now because you prayed that prayer from your heart. Isn't that exciting? I mean, that's so exciting. That's so cool. So cool. But there's a couple of things. If you don't have a Bible, there's lots of Bibles back there. You can grab one. But the thing, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is your new playbook right here. And if you haven't read it, start in the Gospel of John and just begin to read. And just say, Holy Spirit, help me. But I want to tell you, if I could have the worship team come up, we're going to worship our way out of here today. But if you've made that, said that prayer, or maybe you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, what do I mean by that? We talked a little bit about it. You've never received your prayer language, and you'd like to receive that, today's your day. Come on, today's your day. You can ask God, and He'll give you your prayer language so you can pray in the Spirit. But if you need healing, whatever, come on up. We'll pray with you. God is with you. Let's go ahead and worship Him. If you need prayer, come on up. If not, be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Wednesday night, Justin's going to be preaching. Hallelujah. So come on Wednesday night. Next Sunday, Lila's going to be ministering. That's going to be good. Hallelujah. Come in Jesus' name. Be blessed. Amen. The way.